Welcome back to part two of my chat with Sierra Burton on the topic of burnout. As working moms, it's so easy to fall into that state of burnout when you are not taking the time to be in control of your days. Bringing it back to last week's mindset quote, when you are letting your days run you instead of running your days. It all comes down to the choices you're making. Are you choosing to plan your week, or are you letting your week just happen and constantly in reactive mode? Are you planning your meals, or are you just waiting until it's dinner time and staring into your fridge hoping a meal will magically appear while the kids are asking you 20 times, what's for dinner? Stop setting yourself up for burnout. Take the reins on your week. And if you need that kick in the butt to do it, if you need someone to walk you through that process, give you tips and step-by-step instructions and accountability, then book a call with me today. Check out the link in my show notes. And also in my show notes is my freebie for you to help you gain a little bit of control back in your week. My meal planning guide. It's 5 pages of tips and templates to help you take control back of at least your evening. So go grab your copy in the show notes. Are you feeling overwhelmed trying to juggle all the many hats you wear as a working mom? Do you want more quality time with your family without distraction of work? With time alone to take care of yourself and your needs? Welcome to Mom Wife Career Life. I'm Carrie, a wife, mom of three, and a recovering perfectionist. In this podcast, I will teach you how to create balance in your life by implementing healthy habits, organizing your home and your schedule, being intentional with your time and in your relationships, and most importantly, how to start putting your needs first, because no one can pour from an empty cup. Grab that second cup of coffee, or if you're anything like me, your third. It's time to dive into today's episode of Mom Wife Career Life. So this week, we're chatting with Sierra Burton on the topic of burnout. Sierra is known as the life coach for moms. She has created a unique brand that's freeing mothers of anxiety and lack of purpose by helping them return home to their most innate selves, their soul. Her unconventional approach has helped hundreds of women heal from the hustle and grind of their daily routines that have become blockages to happiness and success. Yesterday, Sierra walked us through what burnout is, how to recognize the signs of it, and we started getting into the idea of feeling free. So let's jump back into where we left off. So it's interesting because you said we need to be more instead of doing more. And I think one of the struggles that us working moms have is that mom guilt, and that we're not doing more and that we're not doing enough. So how do we stop that internal dialogue in our heads?
Great question. So you need to have space in your own brain. In between your thoughts, there's this liminal space that you can learn to hold and grow. But oftentimes as women, our nervous systems are hardwired to go from one thing to the next, and we've been practicing moving at that kind of pace for decades. So ultimately, in the work that I do with women and moms on mind management, which is what I call it, we're intending to create a little more space so that we can allow for discernment. Discernment is a practice of clear knowing what I need to do now or what I need to say now. Sometimes before we know what to say now, we need to not say anything at all. And what the process looks like of what I call an adult metamorphosis is getting real quiet and learning how to be in motion in our lives, because you still have to go to work. You still have to unload the dishwasher. You still have to do the things you need to do. But it's about bringing a new and different expression to the things that must be done while letting go of the things that you think need to be done, which are different. The things that must be done are different than all the things you think need to be done. So we reorganize that, and then we create space in your doings in order to bring more of yourself to those things. So toward the later part of my program, which is about 8 weeks long, women actually enjoy folding the laundry because it becomes an act of self-care. And I know that sounds shocking and surprising, but that's ultimately a goal in life, is to learn how to be here now and to be with what is without taking ourselves into thoughts about the future or thoughts about the past. That is the healthiest way to live, to sink deeply into the present moment. So create space, hold space between your thoughts. Most people don't even realize that they're having thoughts. And if that's your listeners, I would just start to become the observer of yourself in your life. So step one is become the observer of yourself in your life. 3 days. Give it 3 days to watch yourself in your life as if you were a character in your own movie. and just observe what's working and what's not. And make a list. What's working, what's not. Be the observer from a non-judgmental lens of yourself and your life. And even if you just do that, you are already on your way to connecting into that deep place within you, your intuition, that we call the inner guidance system. That inner self has been wanting to come through, but that part of you cannot let herself be known to you when you are constantly in motion in your mind. So we have to stop the overthinking, the over-Googling, the over-analyzing, the overwhelming. We have to stop all of that. We have to stop overing in order to connect to the purity of who you are and what's wanting to come through you now. So how do we connect to that inner guidance system? There's a lot of doings we can do to connect to that, but to give the woman who's already doing so much more to do is not typically the direction I like to take. So in order to recognize that space is always available to this woman, I encourage her to start to differentiate between what is reality. So what is real and true in this moment and what is not? What are my thoughts about this reality, the past reality, or the future reality that is to come? Because most of the time she's living in not in the present moment, either in the future or in the past. So to get connected to reality, what is real and true right now, we take a look around and we observe what is. When I look around my room, I see that there is a pile of clothes that need to be folded. I see that the sky is blue. I see that there is a little bit of snow on top of the mountains. We live in Colorado. I see that I'm wearing a green shirt and pink pants. I notice my candle is lit on the right. What is real and true are some of those things that I mentioned. The sheets are linen. That's real and true. But the sheets are soft is my opinion about the sheet. Are you with me on that? Want to separate the color we give our reality. Because I might think the sheets are soft, but you may be like, no way, linen is not soft. I much prefer cotton. I can't believe you like linen. So here I am relating to linen as if it's real and true that it's soft, but that is just my perspective. That's not even real and true. What's real and true is these sheets are 100% linen. So we start to get clear on what is real and what is the meaning I attach to things. So for the woman with the busy mind, I recommend that she goes outside, plants her feet on the ground, takes a deep breath, and takes a moment to use her senses to smell the air, to notice the color of the sky, to feel her feet on the ground. Notice what is real and true. Listen for sounds. See if you can tap into a scent or a smell in the air. Notice the birds chirping in the distance. These are things that are happening that she doesn't even realize are happening in her days. So I like to give the example of when a woman's life is imbalanced, it's like riding a bicycle with broken spokes. You might be in San Diego, California, riding on the boardwalk, and you are just sweating and working so damn hard. And you are just like, when are we going to get there? I'm over this. And you are not even able to feel the sun, to taste the salt in the air, to hear the ocean, and to relish in the joy of the children's laughter as you cruise on by as they're playing in the sand. You're missing all of it. And all of that is available to someone at all times. We're just not tuning into it. So part of connecting to the intuition is by creating space. That's number one. How do we create space? We tune into reality exactly as it is. That gets us out of the future and out of the past. So those are the first two steps. And in the space, the intuitive self, that inner guidance system, will begin to reveal itself. And the question that I encourage women to ask is putting their hand on their heart, feeling their chest rise and fall, noticing the expansion and the contraction of their breath, really feeling their breath move through their body. This is me right now. I'm demonstrating it. Noticing how my breath is impacting my body. In that space that I'm creating for myself, I just ask myself, okay, Sierra, what is it that you know you need now? And I sit in stillness for 3 to 5 breaths with that question at the forefront of my mind. What do I need now? And in the stillness, I become aware of the answer to that question. And sometimes there's no answer. And usually I take that to mean I'm just called to sit in the question, maybe move about my day in curiosity. What is it that I really need now? Something's off. What do I need now? I need time for aloneness. Okay, got it. What does that look like, Sierra? And it used to, when I was in my busy perfectionist identity, it used to look like checking myself into a hotel and taking a full 24 hours. And by the way, I used to do that when my kids were young.
That is
now insane. I need to do that. Whereas before I needed to do that. Now I choose to do that occasionally because I really enjoy it. Two totally different ways of choosing for myself. Now I choose from a full cup, whereas before I was choosing it from an empty cup. Most of the people listening are likely making choices based on their empty cup.
There is so much there that I want to touch upon. Up until a few years ago, if you were to speak that imagery of riding on a bicycle on the boardwalk with the waves crashing and the salt in the air, I wouldn't have been able to picture that as you were talking. When I would try to do guided meditation and the voice would tell me to picture myself sitting by a waterfall with the grass below my feet, or whatever serene scene they would speak to, I would not be able to picture it. And I realized it's because I was living life where I was never present in the moment, where I would never stop to just take in and appreciate the beauty of everything around me. And I really think it was because I was living in constant burnout, the constant doing, doing, doing. But after being on this spiritual journey the past couple of years, I'm now able to picture that boardwalk scene as if I was there right now, and I can even smell the ocean. And I really think it's because when you stop to do that inner work, your perspective just changes and your awareness just really intensifies. So that's the first piece. But then you touched on being a perfectionist, and that is something I know oh too well. That was me for far too long, the need for everything to be perfect. And I think, well, no, I know that it's because of social media and Pinterest that made it so much worse. Everyone posting these pictures of perfection and then trying to live up to this idea of being the perfect mom, the perfect wife with the perfect family and the perfect house, throwing the perfect parties. And that's how you lead to being burnt out. So how do we work through that? How do we work through being a perfectionist?
Oh, I love this. There's so many directions we can take with this. How do we overcome feeling like we need to be perfect? And when I'm rooting into that word of perfectionism, I'm literally picturing the modern mother, the past version of me, showing up in this superhero identity. And you look good, you are good, like that's the projection that you want to give off to the world. But as I said earlier, burnout happens when you avoid being human for too long. We can look at, on the emotional spectrum, 0 point frequency equals neutrality. Neutrality is an experience of just wholly rooting into the present moment. It's almost a feeling of getting lost in time and feeling nothing. So you're not needing to feel happy. You're just content. For me, contentment feels better than even being happy. I love the feeling of being satisfied and fulfilled. But before I learned how to tap into 0 point frequency, to contentment, to neutrality, I was constantly chasing happiness. I was constantly chasing happiness and then making myself wrong for not being happy and feeling like I needed to fix something. And keep in mind, I was already a personal coach and trainer for years prior to this. So I had thought, there was a part of me that had thought that I had this all figured out and that I was equipped for this time, which is sort of the joke. Because once we think we've arrived or become, that's usually when God, the universe, source, and spirit give us a whole new set of lessons to grow into, you know. And one thing that I shared with my group just yesterday is we don't just go to heaven, we grow to heaven.
I love that.
You're here to learn and grow as souls. So for most women and mothers, the perfectionist thinks she needs to reach this like destination. And what that looks like is having the lake house and having the perfect family photo and having the entrepreneurial career that not only lights you up, but also brings an income, and having the kids who get good grades and, you know, are captain of their sports teams. Cancel. That is a fast track to burnout. That is unreasonable and unrealistic. And it is not a posture of appreciation for the human experience. The human experience is meant to be filled with an array of emotions that we need to learn how to allow space for. So when a woman is feeling disconnected to her own children, she's oftentimes doing unto them that she does unto herself. She's making the tears wrong and the happiness right. Cancel, cancel. She's making the anger and the outbursts wrong and the passionate joy right. Cancel, cancel. I want you to consider that there is no right, wrong, good, or bad. It just is. This takes us back into reality. It takes us into observing our lives through a lens of zero-point frequency, appreciating the tears while also appreciating the slow joy. That is the shift for a woman to feel deep contentment, fulfillment, and a subtle joy. The shift is in learning to appreciate the totality of the human experience, embracing it all with love, because it is essential and important. If we're talking about zero-point frequency, you can't only have plus one, plus two, plus three. All of that comes with the equal opposite, negative one, negative two, negative three on the emotional spectrum. You cannot only live on the right positive side of the spectrum and forget about the opposite. That will take a child or a human being into a feeling of numbness, into a feeling of depression, into a feeling of needing a medication in order to feel better. And all that's actually happening in the human being is an inability to process and express the real emotions that are moving through. Sadness, overwhelm. Sometimes the feeling of needing to scream is so important for the mother. She just has to learn how to let her roar be known. We work on this. Because most women, their voices are suppressed because they've been being the good girl, saying the right things, or not saying anything at all and suppressing their voice. We have to learn how to let our roar be known and not have the roar sound like a reaction or an outburst or a yell. My roar sounds like how I'm starting to speak now, in a louder, more passionate, direct tone. And what that looks like in my home looks like, boys, we're leaving. And I hold that posture of silence. Boys, it's time to go. Get in the car, period. It doesn't look like yelling and frantically grabbing things. And I might say, boys, it's time to go. I'll be in the car. Notice how when we say, kids, let's go, we're going to be late, but then we're the ones trailing behind. And then we're mad at them for not getting in the car. They're just modeling. Notice how they're just modeling off of our behavior. If we're the last ones in the car, how do we expect them to be the first ones in the car? They're literally learning based on our demonstration of behavior. So if you want to teach your kids to actually get out the door when you say it's time to leave, you leave. You leave on time. And that means getting in the car. I have had one moment where I've said, we are leaving at 7:30. I will be in the car. And I got in the car and I just sat there and waited. And guess what? Like little ducklings, they follow. They come. They get their shoes. They do all of that. And then over time, you train them to know what it's like to be on time because you are on time. So part of overcoming the perfectionist identity is by actually allowing for imperfection, learning how to use your voice, and then demonstrating what I like to call a noble path forward, where you actually align your actions to the words that you are saying, and you become a demonstration in your home for goodness. So rather than yelling and reacting and blaming and shaming and making wrong, you stand firm in what's most important to you, and you learn how to communicate and make requests based on that. And then you act accordingly. That means your boat will be rocked still. We're human beings. We're in relationship with a lot of people right now, especially as mothers. But learning to temper your reaction and ask yourself, hey, Sierra, what's really going on here? What's really rattling you up right now? I'm not feeling heard. Okay, that's valid, right? This example right here is me having a dialogue with my higher self, with my intuition, and recognizing by taking full responsibility that it's actually not the kids. I'm just sick and tired of being late. And I know for me, I need to get in the car at 7:30 because that's what I said I'm going to do. With me on that?
Yep.
The more you align to your inner devotion, which come from a deep place within you, and the more you act in alignment with those things, the more happy you will feel, the more confident you will feel about how you're showing up in your life for your kids, for your partner, within your job. We have to slow the rhythms down. The rhythms are way too fast if you're overanalyzing, overthinking, over-Googling, over-complaining, over-gossiping, overwhelming yourself. Cancel, cancel. Going back to the beginning, it's all about learning how to find that liminal space, that space between thought, to check in with your heart, with yourself. What is it that I know I need to do now? 5 breaths.
I love that. And I love that you touched on parenting because I know myself, I've really made a conscious effort to be calm when it comes with my children the past couple of years. I really try not to yell. By all means, like sometimes they just drive me to the point where the yell comes out. But I've learned, especially as my girls become teenagers, to just meet them with compassion, to speak in a tone that is authoritative, but with love, and that you get a better reaction. You get a more positive outcome. Whereas if I was just constantly yelling, all that's doing is adding fuel to their fire, getting them upset. And it's, you know, we're going at it and there's no positive outcome. We're late. They're going to school angry. They're going to school upset. And then they're just starting their day with such a negative tone. And I make it a point, especially when I'm bringing them to school, it is my non-negotiable every day that I am the one to bring them to school, that I make sure that they're leaving my presence on a positive note, feeling loved, feeling that they can enter the school with just confidence that they are loved. So I love that you touched on that.
Yeah, I'd love to say just one more thing about that, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
I love that that's your devotion, because I really think when it comes to legacy, like what is the legacy we want to leave behind for our children? It's all about how we're showing up for them and the energy that we carry as we show up for them. So if you have found that, hey, it's not working for us to have these days and these moments, like my heart is sad dropping my kids off to school when we're feeling disconnected. I really relate to that. And as a leader, you have said, no more, we've got to do this differently. And you've reoriented yourself to get a different result. That's what it's like to step into leadership as a woman and mother. Who you're being in a space will shift the results and the outcome for everyone you are in touch with in your home. And that's a big responsibility when you take a step back and you realize how much you influence everyone in the home. And that's why I recommend for all mothers, I really feel strongly that a morning routine is so important, to be the first one up in the home and to take some time to nourish yourself spiritually, whatever that looks like for you. That might be reading a book. It might be reading the Bible. It might be journaling. It might be sipping your coffee with your favorite creamer in silence and just witnessing yourself breathe as you turn on the fireplace in a dark room. In a quiet house. I mean, this is self-care. Can you feel it when I describe it?
That is my morning. Every morning, except the fireplace, which I wish I had.
Okay.
But the coffee, the journaling, the quiet space, the cup of coffee, it is my morning routine. And I say it all the time. It is what starts my day on the right foot. When I wasn't doing a morning routine and I was getting up at the same time as the kids, it was stressful and I hated it. And it was just such a bad energy to start the day off with. So completely resonates.
This is a great place for us to hit that pause button. Make sure you come back tomorrow to hear our final part of our interview with Sierra, where she shares the perfect way to say no. Sending you so much love and light until next time on Mom Wife Career Life with Carrie Pat. Before you go, if you found this podcast helpful, I would be so grateful if you would take a minute, go on over to iTunes, and leave me a review. If you have other stressed out mamas in your life that you feel this podcast could help, take a screenshot of this episode, post it in your Instagram stories, and tag me, and let them know that they are not alone and they can create balance in their life too. If there's a topic you'd like me to cover or you just want to connect, DM me on Instagram at mom.wife.career.life or come on over and hang out with us in our Facebook community. Sending you so much love and light until next time
on Mom Wife Career Life with Carrie Pat.